You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
The basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahadie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Sorry about my intro. The other part, I don't know, man. It just changes. I go back to it, and now it's different. I tell you, son, these computers, brother, I tell you. This is African Perspectives. You're here, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts and podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there'll be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. And I tell you, I just, and you know, that just sprung up on me like that. I turned to it, to put it on, man. It's been working beautifully. And then this. But that's okay because, you know, just because there's a glitch don't mean the whole thing has got to be thrown away. You know, we're just going to move beyond it because that's what we do. It's like I'm a firefighter. You overcome, improvise, overcome, and adapt. Improvise, overcome, and adapt. That's what you got to do. That's right. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And on Thursdays, tomorrow, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 8 to 10 tomorrow. From 8 to 10 tomorrow. Talk to Brother Elliot, and there's another program. Brother Jamoke has another program on I think he said Sundays, every other Sunday before his program, before Time for an Awakening. So, yeah, Brother Jamoke with reparations. Yep, that's going to be on. And so Fridays, of course, 8 p.m. is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And then Sunday, as I said, the program with Brother Jamoke. And then at from 7 to time that they close, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. We're going to start out. I'm not going to start out right away with the Inyasasim. Inyasasim, because I'm going to use that probably just afterwards, because I'm going to talk about two brothers that deserve to be talked about. You know, this is Black August. A lot of good stuff happens. August, this Saturday, is Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey Day is his birthday, so we're going to be celebrating Marcus Garvey Day somewhere. I haven't seen. I'm going to call Brother Tut to find out what the deal is. But, yeah, Black August, man. You know, and two people. This is ironic. This is ironic, family. Both who I know, one I know personally, more so than the other. But even at that, we've had exchanges, and both of these men were outstanding in their field. The irony is this. They both were born in August, and they both died in August. They both died doing what they loved, giving tours in Kemet. Baba Renoka Rashidi and Baba Dr. Asa Hilliard, Nana Bofor. Well, let's talk about Nana Bofor.
So I saved Inoko because Inoko was a personal friend. I've been to his home in L.A. Invited him in here to Milwaukee. Got him around in hotel and places to go. We just hung out. Yeah, I love Inoko. Did the same thing in Ohio. Yeah. And, of course, here in Atlanta. So, but we're going to talk about Dr. Asa Hilliard. Great presentation at Clark College a few years ago with Dr. Wade Nobles, clinical psychologist out of the San Francisco area, and who to me, I always tell him, and I've told him, that have the most definitive definition of power. You know, when he threw that out there many years ago, and I'm talking about many years. And he said, power is not information and education and power, and none of us ain't voting. You know, power is none of that. What power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality. Unfortunately, we have accepted their definition as if it's our own. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in their reality? When they came into Africa, they believed that we were soulless, no culture to speak of, justifying what they did, the physical captivity for our enslavement and the colonization and the rape of our land. Yeah. Yeah. Power. The ability to define reality. And what we must do as African people is break the monopoly that these folks have on our minds. To think clearly. To embrace one another, love one another, trust one another. To define reality and shape it and fashion it in our image and in our interests. Yeah. Dr. Wade Nobles. So he put that program on in honor of Nana Balfour, Dr. Asa Hilliard, and his wife, Bessie Jo Hilliard, who used to be the mayor of East Point, Georgia. She was the mayor. And she appointed, she's the one who helped make history. She appointed our sister to be the fire chief, Rosemary Cloud. She appointed Rosemary Cloud to be the fire chief of East Point, Georgia. First sister, fire chief of a paid department, East Point, Georgia. So, yeah, Dr. Asa Hilliard. Yeah. In fact, I was in Atlanta for 100 Black Men programming, and Nana Balfour had a part in it. And because I was walking around with African glow, one brother thought I was him. I said, no, brother, I'm not Asa Hilliard. I'm sorry. But I was flattered, you know, definitely. Good brother. Born August 22nd in Galveston, Texas. And he died August 13th, 2007. Wow. That long ago, 2007. The age of 73 in Kemet. Joe Hilliard, yeah. Also known as Nana Balfour, was an American African professor at educational psychology who worked on indigenous ancient African history, ancient Kemet, culture, education, and society. He was the Fuller E. Calloway Professor of Urban Education at Georgia State University, with joint appointments in the Department of Education, Policy Studies, and the Department of Educational Psychology and Special Education. Prior to his position at Georgia State, Dr. Hilliard served as the dean of School of Education at San Francisco State University in California. His career in 1981, Asa Hilliard introduced the concept of the baseline essays. I had a copy of the baseline essays, short stories of experience of a particular geocultural group within a particular academic area from the earliest times to the present. The Portland baseline essays, Portland, Oregon school adapted them. This resulted in the collection of essays advocating African-centeredness, Afrocentrism, Afrocentrism. So when you see, and they're talking about something, when you see A-F-R and then an O, kick the O to the curb and put an I up there, Afrocentrism. Okay? And you can train your mind to do anything. You really can. You know, just like for me, I've trained my mind not to say mentor, because I know who mentor was in the Homer's Iliad. You know, it's a story. But even though it's a story, family, look at the Greek culture. Look at the Greek culture. Look what the Greek men did. Look at the Greek men and what they did to young children, not just boys, but pedophilia with girls. Look what they did to the women. Alienated the women, turned them off. The women went to the island of Lesbo. Yeah. So you can train your mind. So you don't have to say mentor. You can say Jegna. We have a word. Now, I'm still dealing with what the person who you are being a Jegna to, what do you call that person? Because I know when they talk about mentor, they talk about a mentee. So that person that you are mentoring to is a mentee. But, you know, but still, we got to deal with the origin. What is its foundation? What do they say? Yeah, I know, Brother Oshie, this is what it means now. We ain't even thinking about that. No, brother, what is that root? Because if that root is bad, yeah, you feel me. I know you do. This resulted in a collection of essays advocating Afrocentrism authored by six scholars known as the African Baseline Essays and were adopted by the district in 1989. Selected memberships, Alliance of Black School Educators, San Francisco Chapter Founder, and Associate of College of Teacher Education Board, African American Psychology Association, Fellow Board of Ethics and Minority Affairs, Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, ASCAC, as a founding member and vice president, and the National Black Child Development Institute, founding board member Asa Hilliard, which is outstanding. The awards of Republican Liberia, Knight Commander of the Human Order of African Redemption. I mean, I could just go on and on, so I'm not going to go on and on. You know, his personal life. He's married to Bessie Jo Hilliard, beautiful sister, the first American African and the first female mayor of the city of East Point, with whom he had four children, Asa the fourth, Robbie, Patricia, and Hakeem, and eight grandchildren and great-grands and so forth. Hilliard's grandfather, Asa Grant Hilliard, was a high school principal in Bay City, Texas, for whom the former Asa High School was named. His father, Asa Grant Hilliard II, was also a high school principal who spent most of his teaching career in Tyler, Texas. Yeah. Yeah, this is deep Black August here, fella, family. Because we're talking about two of the people who have given so much. Hilliard was traveling with his wife and in a tour group in Kemet in 2007, when he died unsuspectingly, it was determined to be malaria. Yeah. Yeah. I'm quite sure he had his shots. you know. But not good enough. Many of his books are just outstanding. The Maroon Within Us, Saba, The Awakening of the African Mind. You know, Saba's teacher. You know, the teaching of Ptah Hotep, which is a paperback. Ptah Hotep, remember Ptah Hotep of the Third Dynasty. The Price They Paid, Desegregation in American African Community. Infusion of African and African American content in the school curriculum. African Power, Affirming African Indigenous Socialization in the Face of Cultural Wars. The Drug for Racism, Imperative for American Schools. Yeah, he did what he loved to do, leading a tour group in Kemet. Nana Boafor. Beautiful. And Renoko, my good brother Renoko Rashidi. He lived in L.A. When I first met him, he was in San Antonio. You know. And when I first saw him, he was on the documentary, of African-centered documentary that my brother put together from L.A., comics person L.A., an attorney from L.A., put together. I mean, just fantastic. And Renoko was part of it. He was one of the breakaways along with Dr. Finch and one other, you know. And Renoko would talk about some of the stuff that, some of his research, you know. He was born August 16th. Yeah. Friday would be the day that he was born. And he passed August 2nd in Kemet. Yeah. Passed August 2nd in Kemet. Yeah. 66 years old when he passed. August 2nd, 2021. So, you know, COVID was just starting to happen. I'm not sure if he got COVID, you know. But they don't, in this piece I'm reading, they don't give a cause of death, you know. But he was born in Stockton, California. Yeah. Renoko, it's a California brother. Yeah. And he was doing what he loved. I know I was talking to him, and I was talking to Baba Baruti. Oh, unfortunate family. Baba Baruti will not be with us on Monday. We have to reschedule Baba Baruti. So Monday, the 19th, Baba Baruti, we won't have him, unfortunately. But we will in the future, and we'll deal with that. But I know he was talking about Renoko doing coming here, when he comes here to doing, because he had did a program with Daruba Ben Wahan. And brother, I love brother Daruba Ben Wahan. Yeah, he was a panther. He was a Black Panther. He was imprisoned for his activism, unjustly, of course. Yeah. So, yeah, he died the same way. Not necessarily the same way that Asa Hilliard died, but in terms of being in Kemet, leading a tour. In fact, the tour just started. It just started, you know. wherever Renoco was, I always tried to be sure to be there. Now, you know, one thing about Renoco, he documented, he was a photojournalist. Because he documented the African presence globally through pictures of everywhere he went. And he went everywhere. He took pictures of brothers and sisters in the Pacific, many islands, and then of course main country, the Philippines, Southeast Asia, on throughout the Asian continent, India. He documented the African presence. Yes. Baba Renoco Rashidi. Good man, good brother. I remember when I first met him in Ohio. I already had heard about him. I'd seen him on the video when Black Men Ruled. When Black Men Ruled. And this was talking about ancient Kemet. Trying to think of my brother's name, man. I tell you, Oshie, come on. You know. And he was a city attorney in L.A. But he put the documentary together. It was outstanding. And like I said, he had Renoco with some cutaways talking about various things that he understood and knew to add to the documentary. Yeah. Renoco was outstanding, brother. He really was. Good man. Yep. Some of his books, Black Star, the African, you know, African Star Over Asia, Uncovering the African Past, My Global Journey in Search of the African Presence. And believe me, he really, the Black Image in Antiquity, one of his best works, Asada, Garvey, and Me. Yeah. Introduction to the Study of African Classical Civilizations. He was a big member of NASCAC. Although many people trying to change from ASCAC only because some issues started happening with ASCAC, but ASCAC still is a viable, especially with the leadership it has, Brother Mario Beatty and Brother Gray Kamathi Carr, you know, just good brothers and sisters in ASCAC. Yeah. So those are just some of the books that Baba Asa, excuse me, apologize, that Baba Renoco had authored, you know, and good friends with Ivan Van Sertima. Yeah. So if you go online, family, to YouTube and put in Asa, and put in Renoco, you'll get a lot of good information. I got some information on what I read to you on Asa was from Wikipedia, and what I'm talking to you now about is from Google, the Google search, because Wikipedia didn't have anything on. It had something, but it didn't give anything specific. It gave his connections. You know, Asa Hilliard, Ivan Van Sertima and a few others that he had connected with. The African Star Over Asia, the Black Presence in the East, the Black Image of Antiquity, My Global Journeys in Search of the African Presence, and boy, what did he do that? Uncovering the African Past. The Ivan Van Sertima Papers by Renoco Rashidi. And when I went to his house, man, he's just like all the other brothers and probably sisters, just books everywhere. Books everywhere, man. Yeah. Yes, sir. Books everywhere. Love Dr. Clark. Well, who doesn't love Dr. Clark? So we're going to begin to talk about a little bit more about Black Friday. And just so happens we have, it's ironic, isn't it? Two great scholars, both born in August and both transitioned in August. That's right. Black August. Did I say Black Friday? I probably did say, damn it. I keep doing that. Help me, family. Black August. Yeah. And so he'll always be honored. Both of them, they'll always be honored, particularly on this program. I definitely like to bring up those who will make our contribution in this month. Love to bring them up, you know. If you want to join this conversation before I get off into the Inyasa Sim, once I'm going to start getting, because I missed a number of days and I always want to, because there's so much good stuff in the Inyasa Sim, man. I mean, what the quote is from the person that Baba Barudi puts up to his narratives and our responses to them, you know. The whole idea of the Inyasa Sim is to start your day off mentally right, get you to think. Yeah. I love it, man. So, yeah, I'm going to read a few of the earlier ones. I know we're going to read them all the way up to today. There is a Marcus Garvey piece in here, but it's not today. I'm going to read this piece from August 4th. I was already in Miami for our convention on August 3rd. So this piece, August 4th, by my good sister, Dr. Bayina Bello. Some of y'all might have read it, but I'm going to read it again. Stealers of land, stealers of entire continents, cannot teach people about God, cannot teach people about democracy. Mama Bayina, Bayina Bello, Dr. Bayina Bello from Haiti. She lives here and sometimes in New York. She would love to go back to Haiti. But, wow. Those without humanity cannot teach what it means to be human. Teaching requires being. Otherwise, it is not teaching. It is merely sterile, dictive instructions. Those without humanity cannot teach civilization, for that would require having mastered the art of honest civility, of defining civil and respectful human terms and applying it from the heart. They cannot teach society, for society is not the mechanical interaction of those who hate each other so much that they can only be externally xenophobic. Internally xenophobic. Society is more than a group of, or aggregate. It is the collective embrace of persons ever perfecting benevolence for the least. It is a spiritual formation which requires perseverance within selflessness. Having spent an existence fragmenting it into the image of its manipulative, extreme individualisms, Urugu cannot teach family. Their best hope is to destroy it so thoroughly in others that they no longer know how family feels. They definitely cannot teach love, for it demands knowing the divinity within, something despiritualized beings are utterly incapable of doing. compassion, and extension of love also remains far beyond their possibilities. They can never teach tolerance because except to make others tolerant of them, it is foreign to their sensibilities. Therefore, it can only be foreign in a rational effort to maintain leverage over others, forced to live among them in a displaced peace. All in all, they cannot teach ma'at, except in some imitative way. They could never teach its essence because spirit must be lived to be known. And we know that they cannot teach what they cannot know. Ashe. Affirm, I know divinity. Affirm, I know divinity. Yeah. August 5th. Don't tell me your theory. Show me your work. Great ancestor, Baba Hannibal Afrique. Baba Hannibal Afrique. What a brother. The need for councils of frontline elders is abundantly clear. However, given the lack of wise, sound, visionary healing solutions, processes within even the centered community today, there can be no serious confusion over how they should be formed, their responsibilities, and how decisions are to be enforced. Briefly stated, if you are to be effective, at minimum, the following must apply. Number one, potential council members must truly be elders, i.e., each must classify as a jegna. You must classify as a jegna, not mentor, a jegna. Number two, all elders must be selected by the entirety of the warriors to whom their decisions will apply, i.e., they cannot be self-appointed. No, elders are appointed by those who they look up to. People started calling me Baba. They called me Baba because over a period of time of work, of engagement, of being a member of the community and trying my best to help. All elders must be selected by the entirety of the warriors whom their decisions will apply. They cannot be self-appointed. Number three, all elders must be fully aware of the range and effectiveness of the decisions they will be charged with making. You must be accountable. Must be accountable to the decisions, the things that you say, the things that you want done, or how they're to be done, how they're to be done. Mm-hmm. Number four, according to need, some form of compensation must be accorded the elders, given their age, the economic order we are caught up in, and this working being an additional duty to already overflowing plates. So if it's stated and if it can be done, all elders must be made fully aware. Excuse me, according to need, some form of compensation must be accorded to the elders, given their age, the economic order we are caught up in, and this work being an additional duty to already overflowing plates. Number five, for any given council, the entirety of the collection of warriors who selected them must personally hold themselves accountable for enforcing among themselves and against or for others, when appropriate, the decisions rendered by the council, something understood in the fact that they chose those whose decisions they would honor. There was something about you, that they chose you for your decisions, that they will be honored. They chose you. What a responsibility, what an awesome responsibility, but more importantly, what respect that the people, those warriors have for you. One of the things that I hold dear here in this community here in Atlanta is Baba Marima Kelsey. Baba Kelsey, I think, is 96 now. Solid, brothers and sisters. He is solid. A beautiful man. Beautiful wife. Man. Sharp. Strong. He walks with a cane. But, man. And so one of the things that he told me some time ago, he said, I said, you have earned your position because you've been consistent. You have been consistent. You've been on the case and you've stayed on the case. You have presented information. So I'm a member of ASCAC. He was a member of ASCAC, other community programs, and I helped him with the Kwanzaa program in the Pittsburgh community. He was very fond of the Pittsburgh community here in Atlanta, you know. And so when he said that, he is an esteemed elder family. He is an esteemed elder. I was in Miami, as you know, last week, and I really didn't ask anybody to speak. I was one of the oldest persons there, man. And there were no esteemed elders. Because an esteemed elder is an elder who truly has, I mean, he could or she could not do no more. And it would be pleasing to our people. But they still do. They still on the case. They still advocate for us. They're still talking about independence, self-determination, liberation, and they're still talking about sovereignty for African people. These are the esteemed elders. The esteemed elders. Affirm, my work is guided by wisdom I can trust. Affirm, my work is guided by wisdom I can trust. And the quote by Hannibal Afrique, who was a true Jagna, a great man. I knew him in Chicago. He was in Chicago for a long time. And he moved to Mississippi to organize down in Mississippi. I'm not sure if it was Jackson or whatever, but Baba Hannibal Afrique. August 6th. Emotions are good servants, but poor masters. Kemetic proverb. Emotions are good servants, but poor masters. In times of crises, the warrior's concern should always lie with outcome. And relative to that concern, the conclusion should reach about what to do and expect from our people should always be historically and are historically guided and grounded. Wishful thinking will not do. Let me repeat, wishful thinking will not do. And hope must be intelligent and aware. It cannot be a fantasy based on another's whim. This being the case, if mentality does not change relative to vision, then the outcome will not. I repeat, this being the case, if the mentality, the mindset, does not change relative to the vision, then the outcome will not. And if the mentality is deeply menticidal and seeking of Urugu's validation, if it is one which still truly believes in the sanctity of the reality that they have trumped up to serve their nature and their interests, then the outcome will consistently and progressively work against us, no matter the awareness or the seriousness of the noise raising from within our community. Ashe. Affirm, my emotions do not use me. I use them. Affirm, my emotions do not use me. I use them. I am guided. I'm going to read one more before we take a break. We have many more to read. And of course, the one for yesterday, which is, of course, the 13th, and the one for today, which is August 13th, yesterday, and today, August 14th. August 7th. An oppressed people whose dreams are dependent upon the illusions they harbor and protect have to contradict themselves and the values which mold their behavior and shape their lives if they are to teach their young that freedom is also concrete. Liberation is possible, and struggle is an imperative. The poetess, Mari Evans. I like that quote. That's a good quote. An oppressed people whose dreams are dependent upon the illusions they harbor and protect have to contradict themselves and the values which mold their behavior and shape their lives if they are to teach their young that freedom is also concrete, liberation is possible, and struggle is an imperative. Mari Evans. When we seek to find external solutions to internal issues, we create crutches. And crutches are more crippling in a warrior's world than any other type of people. They serve no liberating purpose. In fact, they do not exact opposite. In fact, they do the exact opposite. They work to strengthen the chains that bind us. They work to strengthen the chains that bind. They enfeeble one spiritually. They immobilize one mentally. They deliberate one emotionally. They traumatize the muscles, nerves, and the circulatory of the blood and oxygen throughout one's body. Anything that does not feed the warrior's spirit, especially despiritualized things that a warrior clings to because of habit and or it appears to give strength, cripples the warrior. They cripple him. We need motivation. We need spiritual infusion. Affirm, my dreams are powerful, a power field. Affirm, my dreams are power filled. Yeah. So we'll come back and read the rest. And of course, any of these that you've heard and want to talk about them, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. Yeah. I had a feeling. I thought that I remembered that Renoco passed in August. I remember his birthday was in August. I do remember that. I thought, too, that he had passed in August. And that's deep, ain't it, family? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Both of them, two ASCAC giants, two African-centered brothers who, you know, gave their lives. Dedicated themselves and their commitment to helping to liberate the minds of African people, to show them not just, you know, words. No, Renoco's thing. I'm going to show you. I'm not giving you some theory. I want to show you what we have done, where we are. You know, Nana Bofor, Asa Hilliard, was about education, especially for the young. He understood how important it was for us to have control of the education, so thereby has these young people learn more and more of themselves to begin to love themselves, that there is nothing that Urugu can do to change these young people who are grounded in that way. They know better. The trappings of this society does nothing to them. They recognize that we need to be independent, that we need to be self-determining, that we need to be liberated, that we need to be sovereign. That is the ultimate for us as African people. Sovereignty. Yep. So, we're going to play a little Lonnie Liston Smith. Expand your mind. Expansions. Yeah. When we brought to our festival, African World Festival, Roy Ayers, we had Lonnie Liston Smith and a few others. Man, it was just fantastic, I tell you. Fantastic family. Okay, Lonnie Liston Smith. Once again, parts of my piece is not happening, but I'll get it, believe me. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at TimeForAnAwakening@gmail.com. Thank you.
Bonnie Liston Smith, Expansions. Expand your mind. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. Get back to the conversation, talking about reading from the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. If you have some questions, please give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. August 8th. I'm fully aware in making this appeal to my much affected and suffering brethren that I shall not only be assailed by those whose greatest earthly desires are to keep us in abject ignorance and wretchedness, and who are of the firm conviction that heaven has designed us and our children to be slaves and beasts of burden to them and their children. I say, I do not only expect to be held up to the public as an arrogant and restless disturber of the public peace by such adversities, creatures, various creatures, as well as a mover of insubordination, and perhaps put in prison or to death for giving a superficial exposition of our miseries and exposing these tyrants. But I am persuaded that many of my brethren, particularly those who are ignorantly in league with slaveholders or tyrants, who acquire their daily bread by the blood and sweat of their more ignorant brethren, and not a few of those, too, who are too ignorant to see an inch beyond their noses, will rise up and call me cursed. David Walker. The David Walker appeal. Yeah. David Walker's appeal. Yeah. Let us move out of the illusion and be clear. This is Urugu's reality, not ours. This is Urugu's reality. This is not ours. They are power brokers here. So it is no problem for them to use themselves ever how and when, now or at any historical period, as scapegoats when they can no longer conceal the truth from us. Doing so poses no problem for them because it neither changes the power imbalance between us and them, nor does it in any meaningful way alter the status of their privileged relative to us. Admittingly, wrongdoing and issuing apologies are no more than consciously calculated tactics employed in this game they play on those they can only possibly imagine as enemies. Repentance is an act, and they ain't gonna repent. They ain't gonna give up nothing. It is clear. That's why I keep saying, you know, in my 70-something years of life, and I would venture to say 50 of my years trying to establish and elevate consciousness within myself and in my community and the people I know, it's not going to happen. If you know me now, it's the same thing I would have said back then. It ain't going to happen. Affirm, I am aware of my enemies within and outside of my culture. Affirm, I am aware of my enemies within and outside of my culture. August 9th. It is in silence that the meaning of words is interpreted. It is not in noise, in anger, or confusion. It is only in silence that words are interpreted. Those who speak with mouths closed are best understood. Nana Tigra. Not being able to leave a disappointment without having the last word is another habit that follows those unable to control their tongues and their determination to have the final say in every dispute. They fail to see that the last word is not always spoken. In fact, silence can be one of the greatest indicators of power. Often, people secure in their power, especially over the presence and or will of their opponent, do not give the last word. There is no need. Their decision or point is understood by most or all who are involved, except seemingly their opponent. It is understood that the discussion ends with them, regardless of who remains talking. Knowing your power and those foolish enough to question it without thinking about what their tongues are showing you is the key to winning any war. The key to winning any war. Intelligence is gathered through quiet study of enemies, not open challenges, which reveals your weaknesses. Without conscious silence, even though simple points cannot be understood. For silence opens the way to greater depth of contemplation. And in it, during war, a warrior's intelligence is born. Ashe. Affirm, I see in silence. Affirm, I see in silence.
Yeah.
August 10th. The heart of the wise man lies quiet, like limpid water. A Cameroonian proverb. Cameroon. There is no quietude for those caught up in aggression and arrogance, for those whose every thought leads to accusations and unfulfilled threats against those who cannot tolerate dissent from our way. There is no peace there, no solace for its indignations and interpretations and their predators. They only trouble the water. Those who seek serenity embrace the stillness. Wise, the stillness that wisdom brings. Wisdom claims because it knows the intense, endless fertility brought by insatiable anger and frustration. This time and place is strife with a corruptive discourse. It breeds chaos. It wallows in it. The Acelia, the owners of this empire, is chaotic as it is for the rest of their family. Their minds know nothing but chaos, and their souls cannibalistically feed on the energy it generates. Moreover, the society that they created replicates it, everyone contaminated by it. Those following in their diseased way do the same, often surpassing them in their malevolence. In these troubled times, having a heart that lies quiet like limpid water requires forethought and courage, many long contemplative years of it. For only the accumulation of a seasoned knowing and learning brings the wisdom which provides resilient bridges over troubled waters. Even then, though, the need will arise when aggression must be used against those who cannot fathom peace except through a violence and abusive against others. An abuse against others. For warriors, the serenity of an untroubled, limpid consciousness often can only come at the expense of peace and quiet. Ma'at tells us that it is the warrior's duty to stop all affronts to the human spirit. And in the face of a determined evil, this will require an act of violence because evil knows no righteous reason. Sometimes you gotta face it. You gotta go blow for blow. Affirm, my heart is limpid. Affirm, my heart is limpid. Yeah. August. Oh, yes, I read this the other day. So, 12 and 13. I'm going to read Carter G. Woodson again. I love Carter G. Woodson. History shows that it does not matter who is in power or what revolutionary forces that take over the government, those who have not learned to do for themselves and have to depend solely on others never obtain any more rights or privileges in the end than they had in the beginning. Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson, Carter G. Woodson. The menticide infecting some of us is so advanced that they literally trust and rely on historical enemies to do what is best for us. So gullible are these individuals that they can even actually believe that the public and private decisions made, which keeps us submissive to others' agenda against us and turns us away from each other, in our very essence, are sane and democratically made by us. The most critical area in which this self-defeating insensibility is found, though, is in the military, including intelligence gathering and the police. For despite the abundance of evidence to the contrary, they have an unshakable faith in Yerugal's will and a desire to protect and serve them as they do their own. Warriors know better. They know that Yerugal will kill for nothing and us will kill us for even less. They know that the genocidal agenda against us is unremitting and conscious. They know that it must stop or we will be no more. And they know that if they cannot defend us, we will never again be able to truly be African. So for them, militarily, the question is always, who's going to take the weight of building and defining those around us who build African sovereignty? It's a great question. Who's going to do it? Affirm, all of my learning moves us toward creating independence. All of my learning moves us toward creating independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Everything is geared towards that. We have to move in that direction, family. I have two more to read, yesterday's and today's. And then, of course, the phone lines are open. They're open right now at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. August 12th, nope, excuse me, family. August 13th. I see my people. I see us all over the world. We are fighting for freedom. We need each other. Very simplistic and profoundly true. Umchini Bomanti. One of the most painful, deliberating issues any Africans earnestly working as nation builders will face is the feeling of isolation that comes with the feelings that they are alone or only one of a few in doing serious nation building work on this planet, because they only see a few, if any, around who are also engaged in this work. Nana, Dr. John Henry Clark, was wise in making the point about the need for rearing warriors who can tolerate the loneliness of struggle. He was not just talking to be talking. The difficulty involved in seemingly doing work alone is real and emotionally draining. Outside, Urugu's industrialized anti-African aggressions require a superhuman effort to keep the forces of racist oppression at bay. Inside, within what we can loosely define as a conscious community, the acceptable levels of incompetence, immaturity, games, excuses, and even psychotic self-hatred among those claiming to be African is bewildering and, as a result, deeply discouraging. I'll read that again. Inside, within what we can loosely define as a conscious community, the acceptable levels of incompetence, immaturity, games, excuses, and even psychotic self-hatred among those claiming to be Africans is bewildering and, as a result, deeply discouraging. Still, there is no doubt that we need each other. We need each other. However, we need each other to be sane. We need to know that those we work with know that we are one and are selflessly acting accordingly. For our own sanity, we need to know without having to see. We need to know that everywhere we are on the planet Earth, there are those of us like-minded and character who are fighting with us for the liberation, empowerment, and sovereignty for African people. Ashe. That's what we must feel in our hearts and in our minds. We know it, and we continue to do the work. I know that I need other warriors, and I see them at work. Affirm, I know I need other warriors and I see them at work. It's vitally important that what we have to do is on a 24/7 basis. Oh yeah, there's downtime, true. But our guard is never down, you understand? Our guard is never down. We're always conscious about what is happening in a world designed to kill us off. So we are always aware. We're always conscious. August 14th. It is not enough to encourage our children to dream. We must teach them to have a vision. A dream is a wishful thought, momentary in action. Yet a vision is a destination that leads to infinite possibilities. It is our job to make sure that the education of our children receive is an African ancestral map, leading our children to a success beyond what we as parents and educators can even imagine. Queen Tahis. She has a sister, has a school here in Atlanta. Queen Tahis. That's a good quote. I love it. It is not enough to encourage our children to dream. You know, we always talk about the dream. But we must teach them to have a vision. A dream is a wishful thought, momentary in action. Yet a vision is a destination that leads to infinite possibilities. It is our job to make sure that the education of our children, which is received, is an African ancestral roadmap, leading our children to the success beyond what we as parents and educators can even imagine. For Africans, nation building is the process by which our nation is rebuilt. Nation building involves the social and cultural reorganization of African people globally toward the reconstruction of the spiritual, psychological, and the physical African nation. It is the process through which African people become sovereignly empowered as a politicized, self-defining, and self-directing world people who consciously pursue their interests in the face of an antagonistic others. The call of nationhood and the conditions that brought us to this desperate point in the first place requires that we accomplish this phenomenal collective feat with our historical remembrance to the fullest extent of our capabilities as a people wherever we live on this planet without fear, apprehension, or regret over the decisions to be African. I made that decision to be African. I'll finish this in a minute. But I made that decision to be African many years ago. My name officially became Oshiyemi Adelabu in 1992. I've been thinking of being African since the 80s. Yes, I was vice president of the NAACP. Yeah. And with various coalitions and organizations, you know, marching. Yeah. But my mind, my heart, my being was with Africa. Because I clearly saw how African people globally were treated. I clearly saw how African people were denigrated, demeaned, degraded, and whose resources, more resources than anybody, more gold, more diamond, more, all of it ripped off. Particularly by Urugu and his minions and the many other Arabs, Indians, Caucasians, well, whoever, those outside of us, Asians. The only people that we can trust, brothers and sisters, that we always say we can't trust, and that is each other. But we must learn to trust one another, believe in one another, respect one another, work with one another if we are to get out of this madness. Nation building is an action, a practice, a functional application of vision. It requires the concerted effort of all conscious African people, instilling and galvanizing the motivation necessary for our students to focus their energies and passing on to them the skills required. And they are required to do this critical work. Fall within the role of the centered educator. We must equip every African child within our purview with everything they need to build African culture and societies from scratch if need be. I say, affirm, I teach our children to be visionaries. Affirm, I teach our children to be visionaries. brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, I'll read those three. And of course, the 17th is Marcus Garvey's birthday. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you. It's beautiful.
Bro, it's you.
Yes.
That's great. Listening to you, man, is like a Sunday morning service that I don't even go to no more.
How you been, Rich? How you been doing, brother?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Doing good.
Good to hear your voice. You know, good to hear your
yes,
voice.
Yes, sir. You know, well, you know, I listen and I hear we're very much alike in that regard. You know, everybody is different for a reason.
Right.
But, you know, we have a mindset that identifies the danger that we're constantly in. And people, you realize it and I realize it and there are others. However, we seem to want to include these people in the solution.
Right.
And that's the opposite of what the solution
exactly.
should be.
Exactly.
The very opposite.
Yes.
The very opposite. I mean, if you play football, I play football. We did not go out and try to be on the opposite point of view.
Right.
We played our position. Mm-hmm. And black folks have learned or been indoctrinated into using this. I don't want to disparage anybody using bad terms, but this devil's language, even his method of speech, so that it doesn't even include the kinds of things that we're looking forward to. We were born. We didn't have any choice in that. That tells you right there that it's divine.
I say.
You and I, we were born. Our parents didn't say, oh, I want to have Oshi. You know, they were just having a good old time.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
So here we are, and we are then subjected to these people and their language and their lifestyle and their aspirations, and we are neglecting everything that we're here for. Everything.
Yeah.
So I'm at the age like you. I'm at this age now. I've seen a whole lot of this. When I was, oh man, earlier you were talking about David Walker.
Yeah.
I remember sitting on the bus
in
D.C. going to school. I couldn't have been in about the seventh or eighth grade, and I remember reading David Walker's Appeal.
Yes.
And that man, that was it for me. That was it. That there was another person on this planet that saw things so intellectually in tune with how I was looking at the earth and the world that we lived in, man. I knew that at that point, I was like, it ain't just me.
Right,
you know,
right.
This man wrote this back in the 1700s, so this is part of the world we live in, man. And David Walker and Elijah Muhammad and people who, they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's different eras, and Oshi, I'm gonna say this, and I hope I'm wrong. Rarely do I say something where I hope I'm wrong, but I think we've missed the bus. I think our situation is such that we had an opportunity in the 70s, and I think you know right where I'm going. To correct things by withdrawing our participation, and we for whatever reason we didn't continue it, and now the bus has pulled off.
Yeah.
Well, and all we can see are the taillights.
Yeah.
Can't even see the bus no more. And I just am so worried and concerned about not only my children, but their children. And all the people, like I said, like the direction that was given with people like David Walker, Elijah Muhammad, and so many in between. And we haven't pursued it. When it would not have cost us anything to withdraw ourselves. You know, we always, as a people, we always want to damn, I don't even know the word for it. It's not even, I want to say participate, but that's, we've never been able to participate. Because when you participate, you have some advantage, you know, just in the course of it. I think we might have lost this game. And I hate to say that. Oh, so you still there? Okay, I don't want to be depressing, but I hear all these brothers and sisters that come on, and they say like we got, like there's another bus coming. There ain't no mother another bus coming. We done missed our last bus. If we can't walk or run, you know, and do it quick, we got a destination that we just might not be able to achieve.
Well,
I want to continue listening to you. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I appreciate you. I really do. Thank you, Brother Rick. I think what has happened to us is that coming out of the 60s, and we talking about brotherhood and all the things that were happening coming out of the 60s, and then to the 70s, there was the idea that the society would open up for us and be fair. And so we took that. We took affirmative action. We got into jobs. We did this and that and the other. And so the situation changed. And so we believe it would consistently get better. We didn't understand. Because we didn't look at Reconstruction. When the same thing. Coming out of our captivity, when now brothers mostly, not too much sisters, had the opportunity to run for public office, had the opportunity to have jobs and so forth, not to a great extent because of segregation and still the evil and heavy-handedness of Caucasians within their society against any kind of forward progress of us as African people in the society. And the same thing happened in the 70s and 80s, although we don't really look at it like that because the society that promotes individualism, because you can see some individuals were getting jobs, getting elected, running cities. I mean, you know, when you looked at Coleman Young in Detroit, Carl Stokes in Cleveland, and a few others, and now you're thinking, man, yeah. It's on. Maynard Jackson here in Atlanta, it's on. You know, we're ready to help run this society. So we began to have the idea and the attitude that this is just as much ours as it is theirs. Well, you know, just like Reconstruction, lasting about 10 years, affirmative action, and all the other programs that were designed to have in some kind of inclusion. But that's the day, too, ain't it? Diversity, inclusion, or some other that they have, DIE, or equity, yeah, diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI, yeah. Yeah, right. I think that for us, those of us from back then in the late 60s, when I first started gaining consciousness and I was in that program and I started reading about, learning about other things and learned the Black National Anthem, learned about Marcus Garvey, learned about a lot of things, inventions of us, started feeling that pride and sense of who we are in spite of. So my situation was, even though I took advantage by getting into the fire service, but it was the fire service that really helped me understand, excuse this expression, how fucked up this place is. Because the fire service
Many of those Caucasians were overtly racist. And I'm quite sure if you're a firefighter listening, you know what I'm talking about, especially some years ago and even today. Because the fire departments, especially in major cities, the numbers of us joining those departments have dwindled. Now, some places, because we're the majority of the people of that city, like here in Atlanta, you know, the city of Atlanta. But outside of the city of Atlanta, you know, the city of Atlanta's only have about 600 some thousand people. And we're over 40% of the city's population. But when you look at the metropolitan area, all the other places that surround Atlanta, the five different counties of Fulton County, DeKalb County, Cobb County, Clayton, you know, that where there's a piece of Atlanta in that county, and that's all that it really is. But a lot of them, our numbers, only place that we have those kind of numbers is Fulton County and possibly some in DeKalb County. But we're all over. We're all over the state of Georgia. It ain't like Wisconsin. You go outside of Milwaukee County in southeastern Wisconsin, that's it, homie. You ain't seeing too much of. I mean, there's a few of us here there that may have gone to school in Eau Claire, may have gone to school in Stevens Point or something like that. But no, it's all in that southeastern portion of Milwaukee, Beloit, Racine. You know, but just like Brother Rick said, it's tough. It is tough because we continue to believe if we would have kept our feeling that what we want more than anything is to be who we are. Is to be African, not black, not niggas, to be African, proud, intelligent, affirming, family, community. And since the idea of America being promoted globally and particularly on the continent. Oh, I don't give a damn how many riches you have on the soil of this continent or in this country. I want to go to the West. I want to go to France. I want to go to the UK. I want to go to America. And then when you understand, look what's happening to us in America. Look what's happening to us in the West. Look what's happening to us in Brazil. How is our condition? Yes, do we have a dark face in a high place? Probably. So damn what? So what? Join this conversation, dear brothers, and give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. My good brother, Brother Irv, good afternoon. How you doing, my man? Brother Irv, are you there? Okay.
Hey, Baba Oshi.
Yo, what's up, man?
Baba Oshi.
Yes,
can
sir.
You hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes. Lord, geez, I thought you... Look, I was listening to you. I was listening to you, man. You were saying some very powerful words on the radio this morning, and they were hitting home with me. And I was, you know, usually when you talk about Oshi, I'd get my little pad out and I start writing down little bullet points because I'm sort of like I was raised in a Christian church, and when in a Christian church you become born again. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're not the person you was before. Now you are a new being.
Okay.
Right. So, mm-hmm. And so what happened with me was the same thing with
with me being an African. I became born again in my consciousness.
Yes.
So okay. the old Irvin, or whatever they named me, my slave name, I'm not that anymore. I have a different, even though I'm in the same place physically, but mentally, I have grown and I have evolved into this Afrocentric being who everything about me is African. I think as an African. I feel bad when I hear of what's going on in Africa. I feel bad when I hear that these colonizers are still practicing neocolonialism in my motherland, in my country. And when I sit here and listen to these American Africans saying, we can't have our own country. Did you say that, Baba Oshi? Did you say they can't have their own country? Didn't UN come and give them Palestine? Take somebody else's country and give it to them? So it can be done.
Oh, no doubt.
Here, if you, yeah, they yeah. can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So don't tell me you can't do it. Or when it comes to reparations, oh, we don't have that much money. Yes, you do. You print the money. You got as much money. But yet when the African needs some assistance, you won't build the African factory. You won't build the African a rail system. You will give the African some wheat and bring him some aid. And see what they're doing. They're keeping them enslaved so that they can keep serving the West or whoever else is over there. Because I hear Dubai has been over there stealing gold. Stealing gold, because that's where most of the gold is in the world, is in Africa. So, no, Africa has to stay poor for the rest of the world to live with lights on. You're in Paris going to the Olympics, and they got lights, and the African lights are going off because they don't have a grid. No, stop it. And I believe Africa should partner up with whoever's going to give them or agree to have, because they're not going to give you anything, the best deal for Africa.
Right.
And you don't dig a well, like the brother said that you played. You don't dig a well, Baba Oshi, and then you get to get water out that well forever. No, you dig the well, and you got to pay for the water like everybody else.
Exactly.
They did things in Africa, and they think they're going to just suck out the minerals forever. It's not going to happen. And I'm telling you, Baba Oshi, and I'm going to stop after this, the key to this, the linchpin is the internet. The internet is an information highway. Mm-hmm. And what happens is now you say something, oh, let me fact check that. Maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right. But before I couldn't even do that. I had to take your word for it.
Right.
You told me what was going on over there. I can see in real time, Baba Oshi. I'm in Los Angeles right now. I can look at you in real time and see the bumps on your face on my telephone.
That's right. That's
right.
Come
on now.
Yeah.
And so that means Africa should not be in the dark. And the light is there for Africa, because Africa is this is the part that scares Arugu. Africa is going to rule the world.
Yeah.
They're going to rule the world.
Yeah.
They have all the resources.
And they have you. And they have you where you see other places around the world, the populations are old. They're dying out. They're dwindling. You know?
They're not reproducing. They're not reproducing because they've fallen into this homosexuality.
Yes.
And the drug addiction.
Yes.
And the alcoholism. We could keep going.
Yeah.
But the Africans are having babies. They want, what do they call it? Reproductive rights. Except you spell it backwards, it's abortion. They don't want you to have no children. They don't want you to have any kids.
No.
And then when you have them, I need them to be colonized and like you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on now.
Yeah.
Baba Oshi, as African people, we're in a beautiful place. As African people, I feel good being African. I feel good knowing that I have the knowledge to know when Arugu is pulling the wool over my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love the feeling I get when I look, when I see Africa and see the vast forestry, the animals, the people. All the other stuff will come in place because Burkina Faso, Chad, Nigeria, they are
right.
They are.
They're showing the way. They are.
And they're scared now. Now they're getting scared. Yeah. We got to change it. They're showing that, and the others are coming on board.
Yeah.
Because they're going to see the riches for the people. It's not about one family having all this money.
No.
It's about the people.
Oh,
you
no got
to do this for the. Yeah. So we're, Baba Oshi, we're in a good place, brother. It was so good to see you and be with you last week in Miami at the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters conference, which was amazing, which was totally amazing. The thing about a conference, Baba Oshi, you don't right away see what the effect is, because what you're doing is you're changing minds.
Right.
You're changing people to think different.
Right.
And that takes a minute. It doesn't happen overnight. Oh, we might dance and have a good time, tell a few jokes, but then you go back and do the work. And you put down the remote and you open the book. You start to read and
yes.
understand what it is that moves you forward in your life. And, and you know, making money is one thing, but money has its place. Money's a tool. But the real deal is knowing who you are, knowledge of self,
mm-hmm.
knowing where you fit in, whom you are, who got you here, whose shoulders are you standing on. You must say Dr. Henry Clark every day. You must say, Rashid, you say these people because they will never die.
No, oh,
because
no,
they
sir.
Gave us,
no,
come
sir.
On, brother.
They are the vision.
They gave us something. They,
yeah.
That's correct. They gave us the tools we need to get through the day. Mm. Baba Oshi, let somebody else speak.
All right, Brother Irv. I appreciate you, man. Just hang on with me, okay?
You know, amen. I love you. You know, right. I'm listening, bro.
All right, okay. Brother. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Yeah, what's happening, Oshi? I just tuned in, man. I really don't have nothing to say, bro.
Okay.
I'm just listening for any type of updates that maybe could give in, you know, about those that are hiding under the bed. So I'll pass today,
right.
You know.
All right,
you know,
then.
You get someone else, my good brother.
All right, bro. Peace. Good afternoon, brother. How you doing?
Well, you know, Baba Oshi, everything clear. I don't need to take any medication like some, but you need to take your meds, man, seriously. But, you know, Baba, everything is great. Yeah, you know, we have to laugh, man, because sometimes this
yeah.
trauma we face
yeah.
has its effect.
Right,
you know
got to laugh because
you know
definitely,
I mean?
You got to laugh because it's definitely makes you cry. It definitely sets you, man.
Yeah, but, you know, we all deal with it in different ways. Some of us drink ourselves to death. Some of us smoke ourselves to death.
Right.
Some of us just talk shite all day long, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
But hey, Baba Oshi, everything's good. You know, it's very interesting, some of the things you played. Did you know last Monday the Bank of Japan crashed? Did you know that?
No. Didn't see.
No.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Hold on,
Brother Paul. You said last Monday, the Bank of Japan.
Yeah.
Japan is a leading economic, and it crashed.
Ah, you see it there?
Yeah.
Look, this is what I'm trying to show you. And I know why you don't know, because they're hiding it. You know, like you just hit the nail on the point, right on the head. The reason why you don't know is because they are hiding it. How can you not know that? Now, the question is, look, Baba Oshi, I ain't playing to be no know-it-all like I know anything about economics, but what the internet has brought us, I tell you, the internet is like the magic theory. What it's brought us is the instant access for information, but that's if
right.
you're paying attention.
Right.
Okay, if you're listening to the right things. Now, I hear my brother Irv, sometimes when I talk about money, I hear him make a statement about money, and it boggles my mind, because the reality, if we don't need money, you need to tell me what we need. Because if I need to get on a plane, I need money.
Yeah.
If I need to pay my bill, I
need
money.
You need money.
Right? Everything. And it's not the way I want it to be. It's just the way these devils have made it.
Yes,
you understand?
It is. Yes.
And we don't, and the reality of it is, if to me, we don't need money. They need to tell me a better system of exchange. You know what? The oxymoron is that I even accept that we don't need money. I actually accept that. But the reality is, we've not been able to come up with a better system to crack surprised us in. Now, last Monday, the Bank of Japan crashed. And what they're saying is it was the Federal Reserve what caused it to crash. Now, I'm thinking, well, how did the Federal Reserve cause it to crash? Well, this is how, because I had to read. I had to look into it. The Federal Reserve, the American dollar, is the world's only reserve currency. What that translates as is that they're running the business. They're controlling all the money.
Right.
They're controlling interest rates. They're controlling quantitative easing, which is money printing. They're controlling it all. Okay.
Yes.
So what was happening is, because there's this thing about inflation. What is inflation? Inflation really, in reality, is a government tax. They're controlling it. They give you the idea that this inflation thing is organic. It just happens. No, it doesn't. You are pulling the strings, and it's a hidden government tax. You rise up the price of goods to control the so-called pseudoscience of economy. That's what you're doing. Now, look, I don't want anyone to believe anything I say, because these are only my own observations, what I'm reading and trying to understand. So here what they did. To borrow money in through the dollar is too expensive. So what they've been doing is borrowing money on the yen. They've been borrowing through the Japanese, which caused the currency to collapse, causing the bank to actually totally collapse. So what they're saying is, now that is the start of the whole collapse. That is the actual evidence that everything is going to follow like dominoes now. But they're not saying nothing. They don't say a word, because they don't want you to know what's coming down. Because I keep saying, they're bringing in this digital currency. I think it's not a coincidence.
Just like what's happening with BRICS, you know?
Well, let me show you something about this BRICS. This is what I'm saying. This is why we got to pay attention. BRICS, what does that mean to you, Baba Ochi? BRICS, what does that mean to you?
Only thing it means to me is that Brazil and Russia and China, they developed a economic mechanism whereby they can do business excluding Western countries.
Well, let me say, who coined the term BRICS? Do you know?
Well, BRICS is just the first letter of the...
No. Absolutely not. Let me say, I'm going to say it again. I am no economist. I'm just an observer. I'm just paying attention. You know who coined the term BRICS? Let me tell you as fact. This is a fact. A fact isn't something you can dispute. A fact is based on evidence, which is undisputable. It's not something where people just make up on the third chapter of their imagination. Let me tell you the facts. Who coined the term BRICS? Goldman Sachs coined the term.
Goldman Sachs.
You know Goldman Sachs?
Yes.
Right. They coined the term Sachs. Now, hear the joke. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa.
Right.
But what you've got to work out is that, you know, even that the president of South Africa right now, do you know he used to work for Goldman Sachs? Do you know who else used to work for Goldman Sachs? We just had a prime minister in this country, Rishi Sunak. He's an employee of Goldman Sachs. This guy in France, this president of France, he's an
ex-employee Macron? Of
Goldman Sachs. People mm-hmm. who are in the presidents, they came out of Goldman Sachs. Please, look what's going on. This is why we need to pay attention to what's happening. Okay? They're all employees of Goldman Sachs, at least in government. Okay? Because they... I intend to bring in this money thing and put us all back into slavery. That's why I say we need to wake up, because I don't think we're awake. We're totally asleep, and people don't need money. We are going into slavery. Now, if those in the Sahel have got a better system, because you can't eat those things in the ground. You can't eat gold. You can't eat oil. You can't eat none of those things. You know the next move they're going to pull? And anyone who want to put money, the next move they're going to pull. They're going to pull a food crisis. That's what they're going to pull.
Yeah,
because
I see
what
that coming.
Trying to do, Baba,
I've been watching that. I'm seeing that coming, Brother Paul. And I go ahead.
Right.
With you.
Well,
go ahead.
Right. This is why I want us to wake the rotted up. They're going to pull a food crisis. And these things, what I'm telling you about, they're not organic. They're manufactured. But if you pay attention, you see where they're going. Because they need to force us into a situation. You see, when there's no food now, you're not going to listen to me or you or anybody else talk a lot of nonsense. You are just going to be interested in feeding yourself and your picnic them, your children them, or whoever else you need to feed. That's all you're going to be interested in. Mm-hmm. And that's coming. That's coming. And you can see them setting it up. All these false ideas, like telling you rubbish about, oh, there's a distribution crisis. It's all manufactured. Oh, there's shortage on the shelves.
Yeah,
all
the supply chain messed up.
It's coming. Yeah. So what I'm saying to my people, you better prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. And how do you do that? You better get your mind in order straight, because it's coming. It's coming.
Grow your own food.
So I don't really want to waste. I don't want to waste time back and forth with idiots talking nonsense, right? I want to prepare my people for what's coming down the pipeline, because these devils are manufacturing this nonsense. In things going on in the UK is manufactured. A lot of these distractions have been manufactured. 2025 is manufactured, because the real thing is a sleight of hand trick. You know, sleight of hand trick player you got in there is Donald Trump. He's the best sleight of hand trick. All what he's putting on show to keep you distracted. He's part of the whole thing. Him and that silly woman, right? You've got you're giving money to. They're all part of the stage sold. It's just a circus. Because what the intention is, they are working for the same financial companies. They can't outrun them. Those people, they've not got a better system than what they've put in place. It's international. All these banks are connected. Everything's connected. Reagan done that with his Reaganomics and that crazy one. They done it. They put us all in this system. And when I hear people say we don't need money, please tell me of a better system than that, what they've tied us up all in with mortgages and in all this nonsense they've tied us up into. Okay? That's the reality of culture. I don't want to play it like I know it all, but I need us to pay attention, because it's coming down the pipeline.
Right. And it is. All right. All right. All right, Brother Paul. We need to get back on here to talk about this, because this is a warning. This is serious. And you're right.
AOC.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, have you noticed that not a word about what's going on
Never mind. Ain't nothing going on. What's going on in London is going on everywhere around the country. I got to go, man. It's that time. I'm up against the wall, up against the time. Brothers and sisters, we end this program as, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Habibi Fahodie. Habibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Hope to see you on Friday, family. Peace.
Appreciate that, Oshie.
Now, Oshie.